Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Jesus once again uses a child to make a point. "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." I said he uses a child again because also in Mark's gospel is this following story. People were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me, and do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. It's important to remember that children in Jesus' culture had no social status. They were equated with being a servant. One commentator on this gospel suggests that Jesus is insulting his disciples by asking them to be the servant of all, including children. Although this might be true, I find it more helpful to focus on the attributes of children that he thinks his disciples should have. So the attributes of a child that Jesus wants to see in his disciples are peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and sincerity. This past Wednesday, our school celebrated Special Persons Day with our kindergarten and first grade classes. Most of the special persons were grandparents, and I witnessed in those interactions many of these attributes. The kids were peaceful and gentle. I especially noticed it with some of the grandparents that were much older and then had difficulty walking across the floor at Wagner Hall, their grandchildren walking beside them, holding their hand, leading them to the nearest table. Kindness in deeds is another attribute of a disciple, and I saw the excitement as those children gave the crafts that they had made to their grandparents. And I'm sure some of you parents have experienced your older children helping out with the new baby in the family. The playground is another place where I witnessed some of these attributes. You can see a child who ends up being upset by being pushed by another, and then 5 minutes later, the two of them are laughing together. They truly are full of mercy. And day after day, I see our school children being compliant, most especially to their teachers. Another attribute is sincerity. Children tell you how they feel. The disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying, but they were afraid to question him. Isn't it amazing that Jesus would prefer his disciples to act more like children than how they did act? After all, in today's story, we see the disciples have been told by Jesus that, you know, when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested, he's going to be tortured, he's going to be put to death. And they were silent. They did not understand what he was saying, but they would not ask him to clarify what this all meant. And then as they walked along the road heading back to his home base in Capernaum, they got into an argument. Well, in Jesus' time, status and honor was a big deal. And so they decided to start an argument about which of the disciples was the greatest. Who had the most honor? Who had the most status in their group? Was it James and John? Because after all, they're the ones that brought Peter into the fold. Was it Peter? Because Jesus had promised the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And on they argued. But when Jesus asked them, "What was it you were arguing?" And by the way, he knew it, because that argument would have been quite vocal. They were silent. Even though this is something that society would expect of them, they knew in their hearts and hearts, it disappointed Jesus that they cared so much about that status. And so Jesus is asking his disciples, look at this child. This child has more attributes of discipleship than you do. This child is peaceful, gentle, compliant, sincere, and full of mercy. So how do we foster those attributes of discipleship in our lives? Well, I mentioned at the beginning that as Christian disciples, we need to trust in Jesus. We need to place our life into his hands and says, "Here, Lord, do with it what you will." When we put that kind of trust in Jesus, the fruits of that will be that we will experience peace. In being compliant with God's will, we will be sincere, full of mercy, and respectful and gentle of our neighbor. Trusting in Jesus is what brings about those fruits. Trusting in Jesus is what brings about gentleness. Trusting in Jesus is how we can fulfill his commandment of loving God and loving our neighbor. But that's not easy, is it? We seem to think that we know what is best for our lives. We seem to want to have control of our lives, despite the fact that control is illusionary at best. There's also a fear factor. If I turn over my life to God, I don't know what he's going to do with it. I don't know what he's going to ask of me. I don't know what path it's going to take me on. And I don't like the unknown. And yet, when we make that leap of faith, when we put our trust in Jesus, when we place our life in his hands, we do experience peace. Peace of spirit, knowing that we are pleasing the one who loved us so much to have given up his very life. My dear friends, that same Lord and Savior who spoke to his disciples about his upcoming passion, who upbraided them for wanting to seek status among each other, who embraced the children, That same Savior is the same Savior we encounter at every celebration of the Eucharist. A gift, he gives us the gift of himself so that we may trust in him. Because after all, the person we put our trust in is the one who loved us before we were born, is the one who gave up his life for our salvation, and is the one who awaits to welcome us into eternal life in heaven.